Welcome to the Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.
And so real quickly, y'all, I'm going to conclude our preaching series, as we've talked about in the past few weeks, looking at life through the lens of Christmas. Looking at life through the lens of Christmas. That when we focus on Christmas and what it really means, in a world where the unpredictable continues to happen, that change is constant, that even at a time like Christmas, life does not stop, that troubles don't stop, problems don't stop. How can we look at Christmas in a different way? How can we not take Christmas and just wrap it up after the day is gone and put up the decorations and the tree and all of that and move on with life? But how can we daily look at Christmas in a way that helps us to rise above the noise of the day, the craziness that's in this world, the conflict and the chaos that we deal with? How do we do that? That's what we talked about these last several weeks. That we talked about the fact that Christmas is about hope. There's the hope of Christmas. That Isaiah said it well in Isaiah chapter 9, that Israel, they would be invaded by their enemy, but God gives them a word of hope too. Although you'll be invaded, although the Babylonians will conquer you, there was a word of hope for Israel, and it's a word of hope for us. That a child would be born and a son would be given. And his name would be called Help Me Out, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That our hope comes in the form of a person, and his name is Jesus. And not only that, that Jesus is our miracle for us who can be called misfits. When I say misfits, I don't mean to take that in a derogatory way. I know you got it going on and all of that, but listen, in the eyes and the sight of a mighty God, a holy God, and a righteous God, all of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory. All of us have flawed and failed him. And so we're all misfits in that sense. But God in his grace, his love for us, brought his son into the world that we may all fit in. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And so real briefly this morning, y'all, we conclude in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And I'll read this verse real quick. I want to read this one verse into our hearing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Again, to all of our guests, thank you so much for your presence. I see the house is about full and some folk got family here that's with you. Thank you all so much for being with us today. Anybody got chitlins? All right. Well, some of y'all frowning up. Come on now, wait a minute. I'm from the South. I'm not ashamed of the chitlins. This is y'all, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, as we read. Listen, it says this. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's shout news, y'all. And so real briefly, I want to talk about from the subject that God showed up. God showed up. I'm always amazed and excited to hear about those celebrities that are in the world. They have the A-listers. Those folks that are on their A game when it comes to singing or dancing, or perhaps they're comedians, or perhaps they're professional athletes, they're on their A game. And they spend a lot of time putting into their A game and what it is that they do. But I'm always excited and amazed when they take the time to personally show up and perform random acts of kindness for people that they don't even know. People that are their fans, people that admire them, they show up for them. I think about people like Robert Downey Jr. Some of y'all know him as Iron Man. That he's Tony Stark. Come on, we're the Marvel fans in the house today. Come on now. Come on, y'all know who I'm talking about. But Robert Downey Jr. regularly shows up for children that have disabilities. In particular, there's a boy in Florida whose name is Alex, that he showed up one day for him, that Alex did not have a right arm. So Robert Downey Jr. takes a 3D picture of the Iron Man arm, and he presents it to little Alex. And just to see the excitement on the little boy's face, Tony Stark, Iron Man, shows up from his hero stuff and delivers to him this gift of a bionic arm, a right arm, that he shows up for little Alex. I think about Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. Some of y'all know that, Pirates of the Caribbean. That after his own child was struck with an illness and placed in the hospital for a while, that he made it his duty to regularly go to the hospitals and put on his pirate costume, aye matey, and he would do his thing amongst little children to help them, to lighten their load. These very sick children. Then of course there's Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I know there was a holy clap. There was a holy clap. Yeah, people say we look alike. Yeah, but you know. but he heard about one of his fans and how he took care of women that suffered from domestic violence, and how this young man also took care of his own 75-year-old mother. And so he shows up into the life of this man, and he presents him with one of his own personal custom-made trucks. A-listers, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, all these A-listers, they show up in the lives of people, their fans, just to show them a little bit of kindness and a little bit of love. But guess what? God showed up. Do you hear me today? God showed up. That God showed up in a very personal, in a very real way. This is God Almighty. This is the same God that shows up at a burning bush that really wasn't even burning, on the backside of a mountain, to a man named Moses. And he says to Moses, take the sandals off of your feet, because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. I'm God and I'm holy. This same God that showed up in Jericho. As the Israelites tried to penetrate the mighty walls of Jericho, they could not penetrate. They couldn't go around. They couldn't go over. But God shows up on the scene, and the walls came tumbling down. This is the same God that shows up for Israel in the wilderness. As they're headed towards the promised land, the Bible says that God was with them. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That God was there, that God showed up. That this same God showed up in a fiery furnace with three Hebrew boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they stepped into the fiery furnace, but somebody said there was a fourth man in the fire, and his name is Jesus. He showed up for them. And they didn't have smoke, didn't even smell like smoke. That God showed up. Then God showed up. God, a baby in a manger. In Bethlehem, God shows up. And I want us to know this today. The God who showed up at Christmas shows up for us every day. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I think if you ask the ancient saints of old, if you ask them what Jesus means to them, that they would probably use that three-letter word, God with us. What better three words to use than to say that God is with us? Think about it for what that means to you, that God is with you. Know that the name Emmanuel, that Jesus was never addressed by that name. But what it means is so important. What it means is so significant to us today, because it holds a mighty truth for us that when we need him, that he is always there, that God is with us. There's character after character, person after person throughout the Bible that would rejoice with us today in knowing that God was with them as he is with us. That David would say something like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. That Paul and Silas, as they sat in the jail cell, that they sang praises to God because they knew something, that God was with, he was with them. But we don't have to look to David or Paul or to Silas. That's our testimony today. That's the testimony of our ancestors of old. When some of us were oppressed and in chains and slavery, listen, the one thing that we knew, that God was with us. That for some of us, there were times when we had more month than we had money, but we knew one thing, God was with us. There are people that walked out of your life, but the one thing you held on to was the fact that God was with you. That people don't treat you right on your job, they put you down, but the one thing you know, God is with you. Your life is not hunking, everything's not going well, but the one thing you hold on to is the fact that God is with you. And we can rejoice in that, that God is with us. And it gives us courage and strength and comfort and joy and peace to know that God is with us. And so why do we celebrate the way we do? Why do we celebrate Christmas the way we do? Why do we always thank God for Jesus? Why do we do that at this time? For good reasons, y'all. And I want to point out this one thing, and it's really the main reason. It's because God showed up in the flesh. He did. It's true. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. It's true. This story is a true story. It's not a fable. It's not fictitious. It's real. And young people, we need to know that today, that this story is about the true God and the true Jesus. Any other is a false God. There is no other God above God. There is no other Savior other than Jesus. He came in the flesh. The second person in the Trinity showed up in Bethlehem. It's a fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for the life of humanity, the lives of humanity. It's really about this blood sacrifice. So why would Jesus come in the flesh? It's really about Old Testament scripture revealed to us about a blood sacrifice. That without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. And you go over to Hebrews chapter 9 and 22, it says this, Hebrews chapter 10 and 7 says, it's impossible for bulls and goats to take away our sin. That God in his infinite wisdom sent Jesus into the world that he would offer his blood as a sacrifice for many. There's something to shout about. That there will be a once and for all sacrifice born to die for the sins of many. So Jesus becoming flesh, it's necessary. That his blood had to be shed for you and for me. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, as the only begotten of the God, Father, full of grace and truth. That God showed up in the flesh. God showed up in the flesh to reveal the Father to us, to fulfill the law, to shed his blood for us. That God showed up in the flesh to take away our sins, to put our sins upon himself, to die on the cross, that he was raised from the dead, to break the curse of sin, that he ascended into heaven. He's coming back one day to become our high priest. He's our high priest and our advocate right now. God came in the flesh and he died for us. That God came in the flesh. It reminds me of mothers and how mothers can discern the voice of their children. When their children cry, they can pick that voice out of many voices. They can hear them crying for whatever reason it might be. Maybe their child is sick. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe they feel alone. But the mother hears the cry of her child. And no matter who else is near her child, it really doesn't matter. Maybe daddy might be there, but mama's going to her child. It might be grandmother or an aunt or an uncle or a friend, but when mother hears that certain cry of her child, mother will get up and mother is going to her baby. It reminds us what God did for us when he came in the flesh, that he heard our cry and he pitied our every groan. And he put on human flesh and he stepped out of time and out of eternity into time. And said, I'm coming down for you. I hear your cry. I'm coming to deliver you. I'm coming to set you free. That he heard our cry. God came in the flesh. Not only that, but God showed up so that we could experience his fullness. that we could experience his fullness. At Christmas, we celebrate a baby born in a manger. But let's not get it twisted, y'all, that Jesus did not stay a baby. And sometimes we look at Christmas and we still see the baby. That's not where Jesus is. So follow the Bible readers in the house. We know that, don't we? That he did not stay a baby, that he grew up. That he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. He died, but he got up from the grave. But he came to show us what God was really like, the fullness of God. To the fullest degree, he came in humanity to show us what God was like. He came to show us what the love of God really was, for God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's through his resurrection we experience the very fullness of God Almighty. Listen to me well. You were not saved to experience a life of spiritual mediocrity or emptiness, but the fullness and the abundance of God. Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up. And spiritually, so should we. That God wants you to experience his fullness. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Spiritual security and spiritual abundance. Listen, John 1:16 says this in the King James. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. John 1:16 again said in the New Living Translation, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. John 1:16 in the Message Bible says this, we all live off his generous abundance, gift after gift after gift, that God gives us through his Son, his superabundance of grace, his superabundance of mercy. But the sad commentary, y'all, the sad commentary is that many of us live beneath our real spiritual means and privilege. That some of us, we can focus more on the gifts under the Christmas tree than the gifts of the Spirit. That he came to give us abundance, to fill us up with himself. Don't live your life in mediocrity, but be filled with the abundance of God and his power that he has for you. That he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And a part of that plan is to receive his abundance, his abundant joy, his abundant love, his abundant grace, his abundant mercy. But some people, they've got caught up in a world, in this world system, and they're trapped by this world system. And I think Nicki Minaj had it right, they bees in the trap. They bees in the trap of success. Bees in the trap of making a dollar. They bees in the trap of a title. They bees in the trap of money and all the world's successes. But that's not why Jesus came into the world. That's not necessarily the abundance he came to give you and me. He came to give us spiritual abundance. Walk in your spiritual abundance. Walk in your spiritual power. Walk in the person that God called you to be. It's a little girl, story of a little girl who asked her father for a nickel. The father went through his pockets and started looking for a nickel, didn't have any change. And all he had in his pocket was a $20 bill. The girl said, Dad, I need a nickel. Give me a nickel. He said, all I got is a $20 bill. And so he places the $20 bill in her hands. The girl looks at the $20 bill and like, what's this? Daddy, I ask you for a nickel. And so the daddy tries to explain to his little girl, baby, it's a $20 bill. Don't you understand how many nickels are in this $20 bill? The girl throws a temper tantrum. She starts to cry, Daddy, I ask you for a nickel. And that's the way we are with God sometimes. We're asking God for a nickel, and he wants to give us 20s, y'all. He wants to bless us abundantly in an overflow. So why live a nickel existence when you can ride on some 20s? Yeah. that God wants to give you 20s, y'all. God showed up in the flesh. God showed up in his fullness, his abundance, and he gives us his abundance and his fullness. And I'm almost done. That God showed up and promised to be with us forever. That's it, y'all. That it amazes me that God would show up as a lowly baby, a human being in a manger in Bethlehem, in this temporary body. I guess in my mind, Reverend Terrell, my spiritual imagination, I'm thinking of God, the God of the universe, coming into existence, that he would come down from the sky, that the skies would part open, y'all, and he'd come down as chariots of fire and whipping the horses, you know, the white horses, lightning bolts, zoom, popping people, bam, bam. That's the way I picture it. That he come just kicking tail and taking names. We're talking about God, y'all. We're talking about the God, but guess what? He's coming back again one day, and he won't come back as a baby in the manger. So beware, beware. But God showed up holy and humble, and to the surprise of the disciples, when he grew up and he began to heal the sick and raise the dead, and he was in his ministry, y'all, doing Jesus stuff, y'all. Then listen, he says to his disciples, listen, fellas, let me paraphrase. He said, I got to get up out of here. Then I'm leaving. Go to John chapter 16, verses 5 through 8. He says to them, listen, I'm going away to the Father. But I say this to you, and none of you, you're just looking sad. Your heads are down. You're not really asking me where I'm going. But he said, it's good for you that I'm going away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send the Advocate. I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you. And that's the good news for us today, that God showed up and promised to be with us forever through the power of his Holy Spirit, that God came to dwell amongst us, but God also came to dwell in us. So as we look at the lens of Christmas, that Jesus was born, that he lived, that he died, that he rose, and he ascended. But he promised that he wouldn't leave us alone. In this Christmas season, a lot of people have a lot of excitement and joy. We're excited about the gifts that we'll give, the gifts that we'll receive. We're excited about a lot of things. But can you hold on to this truth for just 1 minute? That Christmas is not always exciting and joyful for everybody. It's just what's real, because life keeps on lifing. Life be lifing. That right now in this room, that someone is still grieving the loss of a loved one, that you're struggling right now, that you're trying to keep a smile on your face, but your heart is broken because your loved one is not here anymore. That Christmas is not always exciting and joyful for everybody, because life keeps on happening. But the good news of Christmas is that Jesus is the cure for our loneliness. He's the cure for our pain. He's the cure for our frustration. He's the cure for our depression. He's the cure for our hard-heartedness and heaviness. He is the cure. When Jesus showed up, and the cure came into the world, and we can find rest, this child that was born in Bethlehem, y'all, but this child who grew up, who's now our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Pharisees thought they had him, but they didn't have him. The religious leaders thought they had him, but they didn't have him. That he got up from the grave. There's a phrase that's been made popular by the young people some years ago. That phrase is called ride or ride or die. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say you got to ride or die. That's a person that's committed to you, that they're loyal to you, that they won't leave you when times get hard, when days get rough. Your ride or die will be by your side. Or the ride or die saying, no matter what happens, that I'm going to be with you until the end. Yeah. Now, let me tell you this. That folk will call you their ride or die in this world, but as soon as things get rough, y'all, they run up out of here. They leave you. That there are people that will call you their ride or die, but listen, as soon as they get a chance to get away from you, and maybe they're plotting and scheming and looking for a way to get away, they'll do it, y'all. But there's a ride or die in this world. But here's what Jesus promised. I believe Jesus would say, I'm your ultimate ride or die. That I'll be with you until the end of the earth. I'll be with you until the end of the world. When you get to the end of your rope, hold on to hope, because that's where I am. That he is the God of all eternity. That he is our ride or die. Guess what? Even more than our ride or die, he's our ride and die and ride again. What are you talking about, preacher? That he was born in a manger, born into this world to ride with humanity. That he walked this earth, that he sat with his disciples, that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, but then he died. But that's not where the story ends. He hung out on Calvary's cross, but 3 days later, he got back up with all power to ride once again. That's why I love the song that we just, ride on, King Jesus, ride on. No man can hinder you. He came to ride with you forever and forever and forever and forever. And that's what we can celebrate at Christmas, that we have a ride and die and get up from the grave and ride again, Savior. No matter how difficult life may be, struggle to look through the lens of Christmas and all that it means for us today. All that it encompasses, that God came down and dwelt among us, and he died, but he did not stay dead, that he got up from the grave for you and for me, that he's the ride and die and ride again, Jesus, that he'll be with us forever, that God showed up for us. But I got one more question I want to leave with you. I need to ask you this question. If God showed up for us, will you show up for him? Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this preaching series. Thank you for this word today. Thank you that you showed up for us. Even in those times when we did not show up for you, that God, in the fullness of time, you brought your son into the world, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. As we celebrate this Christmas holiday, this holy day, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. It's about Christ. And whether we get a gift underneath a tree or not, or whether we even won't want to care about one, that our heart is content and our heart rests in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit in this very moment that you would draw those that are not in a saving relationship with Jesus to you. Your word says that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life. So God, draw them by your Spirit. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our hearts, God, that you raised him from the dead, your word says that we are saved. That settles it. We don't always get it right. We don't always dot every I or cross every T. But God, we love you. So draw those by your Spirit to you in this very moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. Listen. So this is opportunity that we extend our invitation to anyone that perhaps you are a born-again believer, that you're saved. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers, pray with other believers, and all of that. And so we invite you today to become a member of Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Perhaps you're here today or you tuned in today and you said, preacher, I heard that word today, and I want to know this Jesus, this real Jesus, in a personal way. I want to receive him as my Lord and my Savior. You can do that today. So if you're here today, you're in an online ministry today, you can do that today. There is an online form that you can fill out even in this very moment. If you fill that form out, listen, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you this week. We'll welcome you with open arms. We'll pray with you. We'll walk you through the plan of salvation.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.